speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We're told in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, we find where grace is located. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we're told further what grace does in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, down through verse 15. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Now, the concept of teaching us means to instruct and to discipline or chastise. And look at what grace teaches us. First, the grace of God teaches us that we need God's grace. Without God's grace, we are all doomed. I can extend grace to one, but it will not procure salvation. We need God's grace. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation, as we analyze verse 11 today, we need the grace of God that results in salvation. For you see, not all of God's grace results in salvation. It was God's grace in Luke 17 that led to the healing of 10 lepers. It's the grace of God that's involved in sending the sunshine and the rain. But as we look at the verse, "hath appeared to all men," grace teaches us that God is no respecter of persons. There are those who teach that God from all eternity chose a select few to be saved and predestined all others to a devil's hell. But listen to what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And again in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And as we further analyze our text, "the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Yes, God's grace teaches us. And among the things that it teaches us is that we must learn to say no. There are those who believe that a child of God does not have to say no. But in Matthew 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So the grace of God teaches that I have to say no to self. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." So we must say no to self. And not only no to self, but no to ungodliness and worldly lust. For God's grace teaches us to deny such. When we choose to live ungodly, we are divorcing ourselves from grace. And we see the consequence of people failing to walk in the grace of God in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And Jude speaks of that in Jude verse 15. Jude only has one chapter. Verse 15 says, "to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Yes, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to self, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. What are those? John speaks of them in 1 John 2, beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. Reading down through verse 17. So analyzing Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God brings salvation. It's not a respecter of persons, has appeared to all men. And it teaches. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And also, God's grace teaches us regarding the positive, that we're to live a pure life, that we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For one to live soberly means he has a sound mind, or he lives clear-minded. To live righteously means one lives in a right way in relationship to God and His commandments. And to live godly is to live godlike, to imitate the Master. And Christ says, we are to let our light shine before men, that they, seeing our good works, may glorify the Father which is in heaven. And Peter says, adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance godliness, godlike, godliness brotherly kindness. And he says, when we do these things, we shall never fall. When we continue living a godly life, and Paul, in writing to Titus, tells us where this is to be done. In this present world. Means that we are in the world, but not of the world. And we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Or as the old saying, you can't live wrong and die right. You've got to live it now to be able to die in a right relationship with the Lord. Because it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Well, we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And notice also in our text, looking for that blessed hope. Yes, God's grace teaches us that we have hope. If there was no grace, there would be no hope. But there is hope because there is God's grace. In Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Access by faith into the grace and standing in God's grace, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And notice how strongly it's put in Romans 8, verse 24 and verse 25. For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Perhaps a child was hoping that Santa Claus, for Christmas, he was going to get a new bicycle. Well, he's got that new bicycle now. He's been riding it for a few days. And so he's going around saying, I hope I get a bicycle. No, his hope has been sustained. It's been brought to fruition. And that's what Paul is saying here in Romans 8, 24 and 25. We're saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. We're hoping one day to be like him, as John says in 1 John 3. it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him even as he is. And so God's grace teaches us and blesses us with hope. But our text continues to say, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, God's grace teaches us to wait in hope, to wait in patience. But many people cannot hold on until the reward comes. And Peter speaks of some who gave up on their reward in 2 Peter 2, verse 20, 21, and 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned again to his vomit, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. You see, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And what did Paul further say in verse 15 of Titus 2? These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. How thankful we are that God's grace teaches us that Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. In Romans 5, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's verse 8 and 9 of Romans 5. And you know John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God's grace teaches us that we must be obedient children of God. In our faith, we must repent and turn away from sins to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That involves confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, being baptized into Christ to have our sins washed away, and then to continue to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And should we stumble along the way, Acts 8, verse 22 says that we're to repent and pray God for forgiveness as one of his erring children, and then living soberly, righteously, godly, looking for that blessed hope, one day the Lord's going to appear, and we'll be taken home to heaven. Is that your need today? Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.